Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are thankful for patrons, and one way we do that is with commissioned episodes. We are discussing the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. By the future, we mean about 20 years in the future. All that and more right after this ad we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall, this is going to be an interesting commission today.
This is an interesting concept.
Yes. So Elizabeth Hohen has written in, and she wants... Yeah, go ahead and read her commission for us.
Elizabeth Hohen says, I would love to have an episode over the future of Marvel. By that, I mean like in 20 years from now. This always makes me nervous to think about because it's practically perfect at the moment. But I would love to hear your thoughts about who the future heroes will be and everything. Thank you guys so much. I've been listening for about 2 years now, but haven't written in. But I figured no better time than the present.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I am super interested to try to think about this. It was daunting. She wrote that in a few months ago, and I was like, that's just a daunting idea. Like, how do we come up with? So, you know, we tried our best. Came up with a few concepts of like what might be going on. It's hard to know exactly like. Well, and we'll talk about it in depth because it's kind of impossible to know a lot of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we make predictions based on what we see happening, what stories make the most logical sense, you know, and see what, as far as casting goes, like we make predictions, but it's usually kind of short-term stuff. the most I've done is like over the next few years, we'll see these sorts of things happening and we'll get to Siege and like, I keep wanting it to be Siege. I don't think it's going to be Siege now.
Or, you know, we talked last week about like who's the next Thanos, things like that. Like, but that's talking like, 10 years in the future. This is double that. This is 20 years.
This is dialing that to 11.
Yeah. So we each came up with a few concepts that we can sort of like bounce around about the next 20, like what it will look like in 20 years. And they're more. I guess conceptual like things that they could do instead of exact characters. Cause that's part of the problem is there's no way of knowing. And I guess I'll go with that first. I think like one of the things that they've done, so they've come out with, they have been using up their heavy hitters. The Avengers are a big deal in Marvel Comics, you know, and they're getting to around to the Illuminati and a lot of their bigger characters. With the exception of the Fox stuff, they've kind of used up a lot of their bigger names. So, yeah. Like, I think X-Men and Fantastic Four will happen soon. But in 10 years, like, who will be around? And my answer to that is we probably don't even know who they are yet. Because if you think about it, they're doing Kamala Khan on this Ms. Marvel TV show coming up. Right. Mm-hmm. They're really pushing Kamala Khan because she's a popular comic book character. She debuted in comics in 2013.
That's really recent.
Yeah.
That's only 7 years ago.
Yeah. So think about that. In 20 years, we're talking 2040. Right.
You know, honestly, like the MCU had started before Kamala Khan was even a concept.
Exactly, which leads me to say, like, I think that the characters we'll be dealing with, the actual characters, we'll still have some classic Marvel comics left to explore, and we'll still be using versions of the characters that are in there now, I bet. But, like, I think the main thrust of what will be going on in Marvel movies at that point will be characters that we don't even know yet, because they will be comics that don't even exist right now. And that's crazy to think about because it's like what comics are people going to love, you know? And I even think about like a lot of this is based on what happens in comics. It always has been. But like I don't even know, man. Like it could be based on I think about sometimes, you know, Montoya on the Batman the Animated Series, right? Montoya and Harley Quinn, for instance, they were both invented for the Batman the Animated Series, those two characters. Yeah. They weren't in comics.
And now they're beloved characters.
Yeah, and we're seeing some of that with S.H.I.E.L.D. Creating Fitzsimmons, and they've been in some comics now. Like, they're doing some crossover stuff like that, and it makes me wonder, like, what... Because kids, some kids read comics, but not nearly as many as used to. It's honestly a lot more adults now. So like, what are kids that are growing up now going to find fascinating enough that they decide to make stories about them in the future? You know, like 20 years from now, I just don't know. I guess my main thrust here is we don't even know the characters that will be coming in 20 years don't exist yet, at least some of them. And I think that's super fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of times, you know, the stories that the old comic book nerds want to tell are a bit too dated to really be relatable to the younger audiences. So they're going to have to pull from the newer and newer comics just to get stories that, you know, that the younger generations are going to want to deal with or even hear about.
Right. Well, it's not only the younger generations. It's also like our generation who might have read those comics when we were kids. Like, we're looking for different things from our media now because media has become a lot more about... Yeah, I mean, honestly, like a lot of those older comics are like big bad guy, fight big bad guy. And nowadays it's a lot more about these the inner life of the characters. And so they're going to try to pull from books that have a lot of that. And we have a lot of that in comics now. And they're going to pull. We got Moon Knight coming, you know, like it's going to really interesting. But like 20 years from now, they're just going to be pulling from a whole 20 more years worth of comics. So if you want to know like what's going to be happening in MCU, like I think reading whatever the new hot comics are now that are being successful.
Yeah. What's that new hotness?
Yeah. What's the new hotness? And I think that's one of the best places to look.
You know, that is, I think I that kind of leads me into one of mine is that there's a recent thing that happened in comics. I think it was in 2018 is when we got to see this character called Old King Thor. And he was, and there was one point where he also got like fused with the Phoenix Force. So it was like Old King, or no, it was like Phoenix King Thor or something like Old King Phoenix Thor. Yeah, it was nuts. He was the most powerful being like that comics have ever shown. Like, it's crazy. It maybe not the most powerful, maybe not at the level of Beyonder. Anyway, so that's a thing that is a future version of Thor, right? Where he's super old, but he's also got all these crazy powers. And that kind of thing couldn't have happened in the MCU because the Phoenix Force was tied to the X-Men, which was at Fox. But now Disney owns the rights to the X-Men, so that sort of thing could happen.
Yeah.
But you know what would be even cooler than that is if it was actually an older Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
In 20 years, he's going to be a bit older, right? So he might have nice gray beard to play that old King Thor. And that, you know, that kind of bundles in other actors can come back. We might see an older Chris Evans playing, you know, old man Cap, old Steve Rogers. It'd be super funny.
You just have to get frozen again.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, maybe the super soldier serum just makes him he ages slower, maybe.
Yeah.
But
maybe he went in that little time travel adventure. Maybe he's gone like 200 years. Who knows?
Yeah. Right. So he's still got like a good 20, 30 years on himself, right? He's going to last a while. Like a fine wine.
Like a fine American ass wine. The other option there is clearly he could be another Cap from another universe, especially with all this universe hopping they're doing.
Yes.
So you could bring in Chris Evans, but also like Mark Ruffalo, you know, and anyone that's been introduced recently, you could absolutely see like an aged Stephen Strange, you know?
Man, that would
Benedict,
be so cool.
Like a 60-year-old Benedict Cumberbatch coming back as Sorcerer Supreme. Or, you know, maybe he's been sort of in the Illuminati. Maybe he sort of recedes into the background. You don't see him for a while. Or maybe he just keeps being in him. I don't know. But even like Tom Holland.
Oh, man. Like getting to grow up with Tom Holland and see like him become that Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the other one.
Or the other one, the more successful
one. I feel like maybe he'd be the more successful one. But yeah, like
maybe
he could absolutely be, you know, an older, been through a lot Spider-Man. And I would love to see that.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah. Oh, man. That would be so good. Like, I'm super excited to see that now. And I, you know, as much as I'm fairly certain that some writers and or producers at Marvel constantly listen to us because we've called a lot of things, right? Like, I want them to listen to this episode so much and be like, get those contracts signed now.
Yeah, right. If I'm still alive, I'll come back in 20 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the interesting thing. It's like these actors, they sign these contracts for 7-8 movies, which with Marvel, like that does like whatever, 6 or 7 years practically. But then what happens after that? What happens when they renegotiate or, you know, they even leave for a while and then they're out there in the world and realize they're not, you know, they're not doing as big a movies as MCU and want to come back or just want to come back and pay homage to the character that they played for 10 years, you know?
Right.
The character that made them who they are, right? Like made them the kind of popular that they are. So right. I could absolutely, you know, I think of other things like Doctor Who and Star Trek that have lasted as long as these things, or Star Wars more recently. You know, you've got Luke Skywalker coming back, played by Mark Hamill, you know, and that's mm-hmm. one of the coolest things. I love this idea.
Yeah, that you bring up a great point there in that, you know, you've got the original trifecta of, you know, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher that came back and reprised their roles as older versions of themselves. Like, that very well could happen in the MCU, and I would freaking love that.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, think about, like, for real, 60-year-old version of, you know, Iron Man comes back somehow. Like, they do some sort of Tony Stark.
Alternate universe.
Yeah, alternate universe, Tony Stark and Cap come into the story because in their universe they never died for whatever reason and they're doing something different, right? Like but they're like 60-year-old men, they're coming over to our universe for some reason, but then they team up with like Thor and Hulk again, and maybe they bring Black Widow with them, right? Like, dude, like getting to see the team ride again as older folks would be like super fun.
You know, I think it would be so funny to see Tony Stark come in from a different verse and be like, wait, why would I do that? Like, why would I? That's the worst way to have done that.
Yeah, in my universe, I just did this and to kill Thanos.
Yeah, right.
In my universe, I built that glove to last. You know, kill me. Why?
It didn't kill me.
I wouldn't lay it on the wire. I just cut the wire. What's his problem?
Right? Or like
he really lost his way.
Or like the Tony and Cap from the alternate verse, like, why were they fighting? We've never fought like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, we've literally always agreed on everything. Like, they look at each other, they're like, I don't get it.
Civil War?
We are best friends.
What's Sokovia? Oh, man. Okay. Well, all this talk about, you know, the trio in Star Wars and everything brings up another one. I think that technological advancement, we cannot predict. It's another, like another one of these things, we just cannot predict what technological advancement will do, to the universe. Like, we just don't know. And yeah. I think that, I mean, you know, 20 years ago or something, 15 years ago, maybe they made that movie Final Fantasy. You remember that Final Fantasy movie they made that was all CGI characters?
Oh, Spirits Within.
Yeah, from 2001. Yeah. They made that out to be like it was going to be like, this is what movies are now. You remember that?
Yep. James Wood's best work.
Yeah. I don't think that's like, clearly that's not the case yet, but like the technological advancement's getting crazy. And I think that the idea of making some of these movies with CGI characters, like almost all CGI, is absolutely possible, especially the ones that are still alive. I think what they did in Star Wars, people have problems with it. I think that if the person's wishes are respected, I don't really have a problem with them bringing someone back from the grave. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I don't really have that problem with that. But like, I know that, you know, some people do. Some people find it weird or inappropriate. But like, I could absolutely see like the future of MCU having those types of movies. You know, it's just that's definitely possible. And these days with the way, you know, we're getting all this AI and deep fake type stuff. Like, you can easily fake voices and all of this stuff. So, like, we're always going to want there to be a performer at the core of these things, because I think that's important. But, like, you could see these movies. I mean, they already are. They're already drifting. Like, more and more huge scenes of these movies are all special effects at this point.
Yeah, if you look at the behind the scenes of, like, most of Avengers Infinity War or Avengers Endgame, like, they're just standing on a green stage.
Yeah.
Like, entirely all of the whole thing is just completely green screen and visual effects artists.
And often their suits are green, too. It's just their faces that are the only thing. It's like the only thing we need anymore to make a movie is someone's actual face. And in 20 years, I don't think that's the case. I think that they will be able to realistically reproduce these things in a way that, like, I've often thought about this, that, like, what if you just get to the point where you are creating the actor? You know what I mean? Like, there's not even an actor underlying the role. Like, they are so...
Vision.
You create vision, but, like, you create...
Like, you layer a few voices together.
Yeah.
Like, amalgam a couple of faces.
A couple of ways of performance and stuff. And, like, you make the perfect, you know, whatever combination of, like, I don't know, whatever... Brad Pitt and Denzel Washington, like these, like, interesting combinations of, like, affects and stuff that you could do. And you could, like, make combinations of great actors and, like, put them on screen as, like, a new actor, you know, like, it's really interesting to see what technology could do. I don't know that we'll get there, because I think there's a certain amount of pushback on that idea, but, like, I just don't know. 20 years is a long time. And we've come so far with it. I could absolutely see them announcing, like, I don't think they do it when the movie was about to come out. I think they do it afterwards. But, like, the idea that this movie has no frames of actual footage. Like, can you imagine them announcing that and just being like, there's just no footage. There's no footage in this movie. It's all you didn't even know. Like,
the casting announcement would be so just bleak. It'd be like, wait, you mean nobody stars in this movie? There's no casting announcements going into it? The hype train. Where's the hype train for that?
Where's the hype train going to come from? No, and that's the thing. I think there will still need to be performers underlying these roles most of the time. But I do think that, like, you know, Max Headroom, like the 80s, like Max Headroom, right? What if we start creating actors like that, where it was like, you know, maybe there are real actors in the movie, but there's, like, an actor that is well beloved that doesn't exist. Anyway, this is all, like, weird dream sci-fi stuff, but, like,
yeah,
I could see it in 20 years
with the technological advancements that you're talking about. My first thought is, like, well, obviously movies are going to be, like, you know how Avatar pushed the envelope real hard with 3D and, like, kind of redefined what an immersive movie could be. Like, obviously Oculus is the next step, right?
We're going to
watch movies in 3D from inside the movie.
Yes, absolutely. And they've released very small versions of that with, like, I think it was Avengers Age of Ultron and probably other versions released, fully immersive VR experiences where you could watch certain scenes from that scene where Ultron emerges and he sends all those bots out. He emerges the I've Got No Strings scene and all the bots. There's a VR experience you can find that you're in the middle of that scene and you can look around everywhere as, like, the bot, and you can see every hero fighting Ultron in their own way, like, all around you. It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You should definitely check that out.
That leaves you kind of powerless, though.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Like, I think we are going to move as a society more toward video games, just because we like to interact with things. But, like, we also like to sit back and watch things. So I don't know. Video games are tricky. You can't really incorporate interactive experiences with movies exactly, because then you're changing what happened, you know?
Yeah. You don't want the user to necessarily define your outcome.
Yeah. Although, I mean, there's experiments with that, but I feel like the MCU won't. Well, I don't know. We're playing with multiverses here. Like, I guess I could see a Doctor Strange multiverse game that happens in the MCU and you just get to, like,
define
your own multiverse.
You accidentally bring it down the dark path.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. You know I would.
Oh, man.
You know I would.
You know I would screw up every decision. Oh, that would be really cool, though, to have, you know, like the your choices define which universe you end up with and how whether or not it turns out good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've been doing this since Choose Your Own Adventure, man.
Yeah, man. That would be so good. Yeah, but like at least with Choose Your Own Adventure, like with it being novels or whatever, you could there's still a predefined set of outcomes. You know, there's the it's the illusion of choice. You're still going to end up with the story that they wrote. But like if you made a game entirely out of AI that simply adapts the story or adapts, you know, within parameters to based on what the input from the user is, like you could land anywhere.
Yeah. If you had smart enough AI and, you know, like we're talking about with these fake actors, if they're like, if the computer is fully generating those like actual cut scenes where like, you know, they have a AI Paul Bettany who's actually speaking as Vision or whatever. And he's like showing up and fully acting out a scene that Paul Bettany had never even heard, but it's actually the AI interacting. Like, yeah, man. That could be really interesting.
That could be real rad. Speaking of crossovers, I kind of want to segue that a little bit into my next one. If you remember on the Mount Rushmore question, mm-hmm. Like my pillars of the films were the ones where things happened, like everybody came together to do the thing,
expanding like, the what an Avengers movie is or like what an MCU is,
right. So in 2003, from September 2003 to March 2004, there was a comic line called JLA Avengers for the first and third issues. Second and fourth were Avengers JLA, but it was a crossover of universes from Marvel and DC. It was the teams battling each other and then coming together. They were pitted against each other by these universe entities. You know, like, I think the Grandmaster picked the Marvel team to fight against whoever. And the ultimate goal of the bad guy, quote unquote, was to collide two universes together, destroy them, and birth a new universe so that he could understand how universes are created. And that sort of, like, multi-company, like, gigantic crossover is something that may be able to happen in the next 20 years or so, mostly because, you know, we saw what happened when Sony and Marvel got together. They made at least two now really great movies that have made a ton of money. And I'm pretty sure that Fox being bought by Disney is going to be a bunch of money for, you know, X-Men properties. And yeah. DC is doing a better and better job with the DCEU. Like, I think that the companies could come together for one or two, you know, a quick run on those two teams coming together, just like in the comics.
Yeah, especially since both are now playing with the multiverse. And we're talking 20 years. Like, one of the ways that these movies... The lesson they're learning is that the more toys you get to play with and the more toys exist together, the more people want to come see it. You know, those people who absolutely love Batman would be there even if they didn't care about the Avengers, you know? I see a company eventually trying it. I feel like it's a little bit of a Pandora's box. Like, I mean, even with Spider-Man, you know, they made these great Spider-Man movies, but now we're going to have Venom, Morbius, and all these other movies that like aren't being creatively controlled by Marvel. So it's like, do we like that? I love that Spider-Man Far From Home and Spider-Man Homecoming exists, and I'm so excited for Spider-Man 3, but like, what does it mean to allow them into your universe? Like, are you opening the door to something you don't want? Like, it really could be a Pandora's box, but I do think that someone will try it. Someone will try it.
Yeah.
One day.
At the end of that comics run, because it was like four big issues, right? At the end of that comics run, the Spectre, who I think was Hal Jordan Spectre, showed up and pushed the two universes apart, like physically separated the two universes. And like, that was the way that they showed, like, okay, somebody saved us from the two universes overlapping. And it was Spectre just like shoving them apart, like, no, you can't clash anymore. So like, I guess they couldn't visit each other anymore because he parted them or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, that would be the representation of like, after we're done with this, that's it. We're separating them again.
Right. Yeah. I think someone will try it. I don't know if it'll be in the MCU. I don't know if the MCU will do it, but I would be down eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Maybe I would. That's the other thing. You mentioned the DCEU, and like, I see the MCU going far. I do. I see it being 20 years from now and them still making movies that are connected to Avengers and right. Iron Man. But like, I don't know what the DCEU. They're already trying other things with Joker and the Batman that are like not connected. And I wonder if
you think the wheels are coming off a little bit?
No. I wouldn't characterize it that way, because I think the DCEU is getting better. Like, I think it's gotten some really solid movies under its belt these last few years. And even looking back, you know, we're covering it on Avengers Assemble right now. We just did Wonder Woman, or we did a BVS last week, and we're dropping Wonder Woman in a couple days. And Avengers Assemble, everybody, go subscribe. I think those movies are not nearly as bad, especially we watched BVS and we watched the Ultimate Edition, and like, it's way better than the main edition. I really feel that way after finally giving it a chance. They just did a much better job explaining who the characters were. I felt like they really did some save the cat things with Batman that made me actually care for him as a character that they just cut out. And like, I found myself really liking BVS, and I always liked Man of Steel. Okay. I had some issues with it, but I always liked it. So like, the DCEU is not bad, but my point is, if the Batman comes out, let's say Matt Reeves, the Batman, and it is freaking awesome and everyone absolutely loves it, and then a couple movies later, they start bringing that Batman into something else, and they start building another universe out of that Batman and a new Superman. And like, they start doing this sort of multiverse thing where they've got multiple universes happening, then I could absolutely see them sort of like letting the DCEU slide as they slide into another form of the DC universe, you know, or something like that, you know, or this Flash movie does something like you're talking about, where combining universes, where a lot of these things get like pushed together, which they've been talking about for a while.
And the Flash, Crisis.
Yeah. Well, and the Flash movie is supposed to feature Michael Keaton, you know,
bring back Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah. Full time. Just replace Batfleck and, whatever that other guy's name is, Fleck.
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. That's it. Batfleck and Pattinson, get rid of them and bring back the Vulture as Batman.
And then when they cross over universes, Peter Parker is going to have such a difficult time working with Batman because he looks like Vulture.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh man, that's so good.
That's a good point. Like, some of these people walk between worlds, and if they do ever do some sort of DC Marvel combination, like, what are they going to do with those actors who've played in both worlds? It's funny. It's funny. I think they did that a little bit with I haven't seen it yet, but they did a Crisis on the CW shows.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Brandon Ralph played Superman as well as playing, you know, his character from Legends, Palmer. Which pretty fun.
Was Legends a part of that? I don't think Legends was a part of the Crisis.
Oh, they may not have been. I thought they were. They're always a part of the crossovers. Maybe not, though.
I mean, they usually are, but I think that there was... I remember reading that there was a show that was not part of it for one reason or another.
Okay. I don't know.
And I think it was Legends.
I'll have to go check it out. I still have not caught up. I'm too much of a stickler for watching all of a thing that I still have not caught up, because I keep being like, well, I haven't watched season 6 of The Flash. I got to get that through so I can finish.
You're making it up. I know.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up. Okay. So that's me next, I guess, right?
Yeah. What's your, I guess this would be your third one, right?
Yeah, this is... I don't know. This is a kind of complicated one, but they often call the superheroes the sort of the Westerns of today.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like,
because Westerns were really big.
Westerns were huge for a long time, and then they sort of dissipated. It's not like Westerns don't exist anymore, but they're
just not as popular.
Well, they're not as popular, but they're also made very differently. They're made for a very different audience, and it makes me wonder if, as I was saying, like, kids don't read comics anymore, at least in the same way, in the same volume. And like, it makes me wonder if in 20 years, and this is, I guess, an alternate universe of all the other stuff we're talking about, if in 20 years the MCU still exists, because there's still people like us who love it and want to see it, but it's not being made in the same broad sense that it used to be, and it's being made for a more specific audience, and it's maybe they become a little smaller, maybe they become a little more like Westerns have been. They're now of movies for adults, you know. Even in the 90s, Westerns still had this sort of flair of being like kind of kids movies. Like, they still had a lot of like fun, but these days it's more like True Grit and like stuff like that, where it's like really is like all about the internal life of these characters, and they just feel like they're made for adults now, almost exclusively. Yeah.
Tombstone, Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, well, even those I feel like were made with sort of like a broader audience in mind, like you say in the 90s, like I was saying in the 90s, that's kind of those movies that I grew up on. And I was like, yeah, I still like cowboys, but I didn't like them that much, you know?
Yeah.
My dad loved them and would show me those movies. Now I feel like there's these movies that like, you're not even worried about showing them to kids, you know? What's that oil movie?
There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. There Will Be Blood and True Grit and things like that, that are like, these are not kids' movies. You know, these are made for adults. And I wonder if there's a possibility that in 20 years, some portions of superhero movies have gone that way to an extreme degree. And maybe that some of that will be in the MCU. The Logan is an example of that to some degree. I still think it has elements that are like flashy and action heavy and sort of
Deadpool
kid friendly. Yeah, Deadpool for sure. But again, Deadpool's still, teenagers freaking love Deadpool, you know?
Yeah. But it's R-rated, you know?
Yeah.
So
it is.
It's not supposed to be kid friendly, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
By the ratings. And I mean, Deadpool 3 is going ahead as an R-rated film under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah.
So like, I think we're starting to get that direction already.
I agree.
You know? Like you said, with Logan, it was a more cerebral take on Logan, even though there were still those fights of like, you know, Wolverine being a badass or whatever, but it was still,
and X-23 being such a little badass, and the fact that she's a kid, like, that's the kind of movie. That movie, actually, now that I think about it, reminds me a lot of Terminator. Like, if I were a kid, when I was a kid watching that, I imagine there were kids who watched that, because even though they probably shouldn't have, just like I shouldn't have watched T2 when I was 8 or whatever, who were like, they were putting themselves in the shoes of X-23, you know, they're like,
yep,
Logan is not the star of that movie to them. It's like a movie about a kid on a journey, and there's like this old man that's kind of helping her out, you know?
Yeah, but he's also got to help out an older old man.
Yeah, that movie is so good.
It's
so good. It's a kind of movie they just don't make anymore, and I freaking love it. And I think we might get more things like that as the MCU develops, and they might start, who knows if Disney will sort of relent and allow things like that. I mean, like you said, Deadpool 3 is coming, and they're not going to make that PG-13, right? They're just not going to do it.
No, like there's articles about that exact thing right now. Like, if you go scroll through those articles,
it's
going to be rated R.
That's in the news episode, right?
Yep.
We haven't recorded yet. That is probably already in our feed. So I'm excited to hear. I'm excited to hear the details of that in our news episode that is right before this one in the feed.
Marker.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
We recorded these two out of order because of reasons, but we're just being a little meta. Just like Deadpool. See, I tied it all together.
Yeah, you got it.
Did I tell you about my Deadpool tie, by the way?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I know, but I just wanted to talk about it. I've been wearing my Deadpool tie. Oh, let's say that. Cufflinks.com, everybody. They're a sponsor of the show now. If you go to cufflinks.com, you can use the promo code MCU15 and get 15% off. But like, it really is super rad. I've got this Deadpool tie it's a black paisley tie. But when you, at the bottom of the tie, the paisley is being lifted up. So like Deadpool is breaking the fourth wall of the tie. And I just freaking love that. he's like peeking from behind the paisley. So good. I wear it every week to my weddings now because it's a black tie and no one notices that little Deadpool is kind of peeking. But I imagine that there's photos from all these weddings where
Deadpool's peeking out.
Deadpool's peeking out from under my coat.
Have you started wearing your Winter Soldier or Falcon and Winter Soldier cufflinks?
I did wear my Falcon and Winter Soldier. So basically, guys, you need to go to cufflinks.com because, like, for real, we're not going to do an ad for this today, but now I guess now we are. We were going to do it in the news episode, but we'll do that too. Or we did that too previously in the feed. This is just called organic marketing. If you go to cufflinks.com, they have a whole page of Marvel stuff. They also have Star Trek, Star Wars, a bunch of other things. But for us, for our purposes, obviously Marvel's the thing. And if you use the code MCU15, you get 15% off and they send us some money. So do it. Do that. You should do that.
Do it.
It really helps the show out a lot, actually. If that goes well over the next couple months, we're going to probably become a permanent sponsor, which gets you guys a discount all the time and gets us a new form of revenue so we can grow this network more. So anyway, that's the organic ad for the day. that's my main thing that I was trying to say is that I think that these genres will shift as this goes on to more adult genres, just because it's going to be, and I think that's happened with other, actually I think Star Wars is resisting that a little bit.
Yeah.
And like
Star Wars is kind of pushing back and trying to maintain their movie verse the same way and not change.
Yeah.
And it really, really is a problem in the most recent trilogy.
I think so too. I think if they had gone all in, like I watched Mandalorian. I really enjoy Mandalorian. I still think that it doesn't go as adult as I want it to sometimes. But I feel like those movies, that kind of a story set in the Star Wars universe, but it's not about the main Skywalker family. It's just like a story in the Star Wars universe is definitely the way they should have gone, right. And the way they should go going forward. And I think they will.
Yeah.
I think the Skywalker, saga is over, supposedly. And
theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. But I just want more of what The Mandalorian is doing. I'm really enjoying this season of Mandalorian.
Well, I mean, The Mandalorian breaks that genre barrier. It goes into being a Western, right?
Yeah.
Kind of along the lines of Firefly.
Watching last week's episode where they're having like these in atmosphere fight dog fight type situations with TIE fighters.
Yeah.
It was so Firefly. Like I didn't realize how much that ship reminded me of the Firefly class until he's like doing crazy Ivan, like, barrel rolls and stuff. It just, I was like, yeah, okay. I think I'm in now. I'm in more than I have been previously. That was also just a really good episode. Anyway, I'm excited about today's that dropped. I can't wait.
Yeah. So along with that, you often cite that Rogue One is your favorite Star Wars movie.
I think it's probably the best Star Wars movie.
And Rogue One is far, far from the typical genre film that Star Wars is.
Agreed.
And I really think that they broke some barriers with that. And if they could just continue going that route, then, we can continue having good Star Wars stuff.
I agree 100%.
I really think that what you're going for with your progression of the genre, though, is like combating superhero fatigue.
Because,
all the news stories now are like, is the superhero genre fatiguing everyone? Are we tired of superheroes? Is there superhero fatigue? When is the superhero fatigue going to come up?
Right.
And you're already seeing it a little bit in some people.
For sure. I think it helps that they're randomly taking 2 years off, but
kind of forced to.
Yeah, exactly. No, I honestly think it will help the MCU's longevity to have 2 years off. And like, obviously there's a lot of negatives to this whole COVID thing.
silver lining, right?
But a silver lining for Marvel is like they were making money hand over fist, and they decided to take about a year off. And that was like, okay, we're taking a year off to let things reset after Endgame. Then they were forced to take two. Like, yep. That's kind of a crazy thing. And I think like that 2 year gap might actually, I think the hype train for Black Widow, while it's, I don't know how I feel Black Widow will feel when it finally comes, but like the other movies that we just like haven't heard from Doctor Strange in years. And suddenly there's a Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness coming, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Well, that and like Doctor Strange showing up in Spider-Man 3. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. That hype train.
So exciting.
Woo, woo. Let's leave the station, baby.
Woo.
But I think that the COVID, like the COVID problem has kind of forced us more into looking at other ways of getting our content and forced Disney to look at other ways of delivering that content. And I think that leads into my final one, in that we're likely going to see a lot more television, a lot more, especially Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
A lot more of the high dollar television series. Cause like WandaVision coming up has what, six episodes, six, eight, something like that. And like The Mandalorian has done so good being a high budget, you know, it's a Star Wars series, but it's a high budget Star Wars series and it really shows. And, you know, we were saying that Falcon and Winter Soldier had, you know, a crap ton of money thrown at every episode and had like this gigantic budget. And like, we're going to see that's going to be, you know, that's going to really increase the quality of the television. So I think that like in the future, we're probably going to have a lot more of the television series, especially with, you know, based on how it goes in the near future. But like,
yeah,
I think it could really be reflective of the way that comics work right now, or that comics have worked for a while, is that, you know, you've got a series for each hero, right, or each franchise, and those series are longer than your standard movie, so you get more time with those characters, and you get more time to build those characters. And then, say, like, the movies are going to be the tentpole, everybody comes together, you know, Avengers type thing, or the giant size annuals, or
the
huge crossover event, you know, your sieges, your Infinity Wars, your AVX, your, you know, Civil War events. Like,
yeah,
the movies are going to be more like the event comics, and the series are going to be more of the individual stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're already seeing that a little bit with these movies. It's hard to know because we haven't seen any of them yet, but I think with WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're seeing them like laying the groundwork for these characters, and then they're going to do these big crossover movies. And it seems like all of the movies we have on the books right now are going to be crossovers in some form, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm with you. I think more TV, more prestige television is going to be like the way that the MCU grows into the future. And I can only imagine, you know, the way they grew the movies, where it was like one a year, two a year, three a year, four a year was supposed to be this next year. And I can only imagine in 20 years, how many series they could be putting out if they're able to maintain the kind of hype they have now, you know?
Well, I mean, they keep pushing out that quality content and they're going to keep getting the hype.
Yep.
And we're going to keep driving that hype train because we're freaking excited about it.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Well, that was our episode on what will the universe look like in 20 years. That's
thank you, Elizabeth Hohen, for sending in that, interesting thought.
Yeah,
it's very difficult.
You sent it in a couple months ago, and we were like, how do we do it? How do we do that episode? And like, but actually sitting down and really thinking about it was a really fun thought process.
Like we dialed ourselves to 11 and it was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. So again, if you want to support the show, it's Christmas time. Check out cufflinks.com for real.
Yeah. You got presents to buy.
You got presents to buy. Cufflinks.com, MCU15, and buy all your presents for your friends there. And it'll support your favorite neighborhood podcast. Or as Elizabeth did, and as she got her commissioned episode here, you can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MCUcast. That's a lot of you have been joining and upping your pledges lately, and it really is making it us able to do a lot more content here. So thank you. Check us out at strandedpanda.com if you want any of the other things. Peace.
Or onlycarrots.com.
Or onlycarrots.com. Yep. We now own onlycarrots.com. You're welcome. Thank you, Trivia Night, for that wonderful idea.